This is a replay of the Wednesday night, July 24th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing it has absolutely no significance whatsoever, particularly political. Other than that, I might talk about a politician tonight. Yeah, you won't believe this guy in Bennington, Vermont, but it has nothing to do with politics, just bad behavior. In any event, before we get to Jim in Richmond, who's got an update for us, I was mentioning during the promo the latest in footwear. And Bob, who is keeping us in line at Master Control tonight, said, I hope it's not Crocs. No, it's much, much weirder than that. Do you remember Get Smart, the 60s TV spoof on spies? Truly hilarious. And you'll remember him calling Agent 99. Well, maybe Samsung is channeling that. They have developed the shortcut sneaker in which you can make phone calls. The phone is operated with discrete foot movements recognized by motion centers in the soles. Yeah, I'm just thinking, you've seen all these texting competitions and stuff with fingers. Are we going to see them with toes? Well, we're probably not going to see them at all for a while anyway, because initially Samsung made 6 pairs available in the Netherlands, who won a contest to get one of the 6 pairs. When they're coming to a store near you, I don't know. I'd hate to think of the price, but it is better than Crocs, isn't it? Yes. So talk about things we don't need. You know, frankly, I've never understood the Apple Watch. You have to keep the phone relatively nearby. Why have the watch? But hey, that's just me. But I can't imagine what I'd have to say about the shortcut sneaker if I took enough time to think about it. But right now, we're going to find out what the latest is with Jim in Richmond. So, Jim, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right tonight. I was going to call you last night about drums, but that guy already...
Well, we're going to talk about it anyway. So we will talk about it. But so you went to the eye doctor today.
Right. I went, you know, that in and out thing at the eye doctor. Yeah. He gave me that shot of Verizimo today. And he says, we'll come back in 4 weeks and give you another shot of Kenalog. But then he said, I was all swollen last month.
Uh-huh.
And then this time he goes, oh, it's all clear. But he really doesn't talk to me. He talks to the guy who's typing it into
the
computer.
Exactly.
And he says, it's all clear. Everything looks good. I'm very happy how it looks. And he says, how's the vision? And I go, there ain't none, you know.
Right, exactly. No change there.
No improvement.
Right.
So he gave me the shot at noon. And now I really don't know how much different, but I don't have the fogginess.
Good.
That I've had for weeks, so I'm so happy to fall asleep.
Yes.
And see how it is tomorrow when I wake up, and that's where it stands right now. I'm just wondering if this is going to be a help or what. But right now, I don't have the like I said, the fogginess that I normally have.
Now,
the vision isn't any better, but...
But at least the fogginess, that's a start. Now, right. Let me ask you, I know there was an issue with a Bevismo cost, so is insurance picking it all up?
Well, insurance is picking it up, but I can't get an answer from them, and I can't get an answer from the doctor on what a copay might be.
Well,
and I asked them in there, and like I said, that charitable organization that pays for the ILEA copay and does not pay for the Kenalog, I asked them, did you contact them?
Yeah.
And the girl looking around, she goes, oh, yeah, it's in the computer, but she didn't say if they contacted him. So,
okay. You
know, tomorrow I may have to call Good Days
and find out what's going on with that. But the best news is that at least there is, it's not, you know, quality vision, but there's some improvement.
Right, and that's
good.
What I'm kind of happy tonight.
Good,
and
as
like
well
I said,
you should
we'll
be.
We'll see how it is in the morning.
Yeah, but that's good, and that's really good that when you went in today, the swelling was down and things were looking good. That's an excellent report. So now, originally you asked me about drummers. What precipitated the question? Were you thinking of one?
What it was is someone earlier in the day said something about drummers, and I was going to talk to you about it, and... You know, and like I remember seeing movie of Gene Krupa.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing Buddy Rich on Johnny Carson, and then I got interested in drumming, listening to the live version of Inagata De Vida, and because I love that the beat that he was doing, and it was just him on the stage alone.
Okay.
You know. And I don't call it Inagata De Vida. I call it In the Garden of Eden.
Right. Well, yeah.
I don't even know.
I believe that's what they were trying to say, if it wasn't the Better Living Through Chemistry plan. So, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'll play it again because I love it. My all-time favorite drum solo comes from Holy Ghost by the Bar K's.
Right.
Yeah.
I heard that last night.
Yeah. You're going to hear it again because I get to hear it. I like it. Hang on. I don't know who the hand clappers were. I wish I did, but unfortunately that was recorded in 75 and then Stax went belly up and it wasn't released until 78. I know the guy on the synth bass was actually Paul Smith, who was not a member of the Bar K's, and it was Michael Beard, who was the drummer, and James Alexander did the slap bass, but I don't know who the hand clappers were.
I liked it. It sounded great.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you a story about drummers.
Yeah.
When I was teaching all that learn to skate stuff in Skokie, I had a student, you know, who was learning. He's probably 8 or 9 years old. And then his father came up to me and he says, hey, could you teach me to skate?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I said, yeah, we'll put on some skates. We'll try it in on public skate,
before
they started the adult classes.
Sure.
So anyways, he goes, and I find out that he's a concert drummer and percussionist. He's even played for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And then I says, well, think you can teach me how to drum?
Ah!
And he says, yeah, sit down on the chair. And he goes, do a two beat, you know, one, two with your foot, and then take your hand and do a six beat on your stomach. And then take your other hand and rub on top of your head. And I started all that, and it all turned out that I was doing everything this, you know, I was down to six beat on my foot and six beat on my hand, and I was doing a beat on top of my head. And he goes, we're not going to waste the time. You can't drum.
Right, there you go. All right. All right, I love it. That's a test I wish they had given me. When I was in junior high, you either had to take art and graphics or band. And since I couldn't draw a straight line with a ruler, I thought I'll take band. And I decided to take up drums because what I realized was if I did not get a practice pad, if I just got a big block of wood and some nice 2B large sticks, the chances were good my mother would pay me not to practice. And it worked out like a charm. So I didn't learn much about the drums, but I sure made a little money not practicing.
That sounded great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And thank you for taking my call.
Always.
And I will call tomorrow night to give you a short update on what it looked like when I woke up in the morning.
Oh, great, great. Well, I'm hoping for the best. I'm hoping it will be completely uneventful. All right.
And I thank you for your time and everything.
Always. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. So I love the all the New Orleans drummers, too, the guys who used to record at J&M, you know, stuff like that. Earl Palmer. He did just about everybody, Huey Piano Smith and more. Hungry Williams did that great Ernie Cato stuff. And Ziggy Molista did the Meters. Jesse Hill, who, of course, famous for Oop Oop A Doo, but before he was a singer, he was a drummer. And for a while, he was drumming with Huey Piano Smith, too, as well. Well, you know, everybody was with Huey Piano Smith in some form or another. But, so Jesse Hill didn't drum on Oop Oop A Doo, but he did on other stuff. And I think it was John Boudreau on Oop Oop A Doo. And I don't know if you remember Oop Oop A Doo. Well, we won't hear much of it, but some. Disturbance in My Mind the first time I heard it. A great record. And, of course, you can't go through Mardi Gras at any time without at least singing some Oop Oop A Doo. That's for sure. That's Jesse Hill with John Boudreau doing the drumming on that. And as I was mentioning last night, I'm hoping, since I am talking to everyone in Chicago, that somebody might know who did the drumming on Hey Little Girl by Dee Clark. It came out in 1959. It was on Abner. And I've certainly read everything I possibly could, and I've never seen a session list on that. So if you know, well, we'll play it. We'll play it right after this, and you'll maybe you'll remember. But I'd love to know who was the drummer on it. It's a double backbeat. It's wonderful. It's probably my favorite song for don't have a drum solo, but as far as for fine drumming, yeah, I don't think anything beats Hey Little Girl. All right, so we'll pick it up there. Hopefully you'll call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
To know you better, just a swinging your books and chewing gum, a looking just like a TUC plum. Hey, little girl, hey, little girl in the black silk stocking. Gee, but you've got my heart rocking. I'm wearing that crazy skin tight skirt and that crazy Ivy League shirt. Hey, hey, little girl, can I come along? Carry your books and I'll hold your arm. I'm hoping that you tell me yes, because you're the girl that I love best. Hey, hope you're feeling better. Not just like the time before. Remember when you closed that door? Hey,
hey, hey, hey. Hey. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is, 1959 Abner. I assume that was recorded at Universal in Chicago, and that tells me it's probably Al Duncan or Paul Guzman on drums, but I'm not sure which on that. I would almost bet that it is Paul or Al, but if anybody listening in Chicago remembers, I would adore knowing that. Just a terrific drum, as far as I'm concerned. It's my favorite song with a double backbeat. Yeah, so Paul or Al, whoever you are, you made my life happy. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. We're going to get to Linda in Richland Park and Fran in Austin, Leah in Marcus Hook, but we have Bob manning the fort tonight, and he's pretty exact, so I can't blow the news breaks, and I think I'm about to. So so I'll just prattle on for a few more seconds, or, well, first we'll find out. Leah says she has streaming problems, so just in a 30-second summation, what are the problems?
Well, when I go on the phone, when I put in Raleigh.net, it brings up this page, and there's nothing to click on.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, I have been redoing the websites. There should be something to click on. I'll go there. Hang on. Don't go away. Something else to be worried about. All right. So there's nothing to click on. Of course, I don't optimize them for phones.
And, I have it on the phone and it's working.
John has it on the phone and it's working. Oh, thank heavens.
Directly
from my site.
Raleigh
so, yeah, and that's an iPhone. So, all right. Yeah, I was going to say, John knows what I've been going through with these sites. So, all right. All right. Yep, it's there. I'm hearing Leah on the stream as we speak. And so I will tell her to try her phone again, and then we'll do it together with John after the news here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was Ruth who said, play anything you want by Connie Francis. I never cared for the ballad, so I figure, how about one of those catchy little melodies that she actually liked doing. And that was 1959, of course, on MGM. And Edna Lewis co-wrote that. And she co-wrote a number of things like Judy's Turn to Cry and all that, probably over 50 records. And so quite a lot. And she collaborated with a number of people, including Beverly Ross. And, we've talked about Beverly before. Oh, I meant to tell you something about Halo Girl. Dee Clark was not the first person to record it. Interestingly, Thurston Harris was, and it is just awful. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to subject you. It is bad. I'm sure you can find it online. The other thing is the guy who wrote it sold it for, like, pennies to Otis Blackwell, but it was Lauren Blixt was the guy who actually wrote it. But, of course, if you hear the Thurston Harris, and you'll have to do that on your own, and then you hear the Dee Clark, man, the production is just so much better. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, we're talking to Leah in Marcus Grove, and we cannot replicate your problem, Leah, so let's talk about this. Firstly, when you go to Raleigh.net, the menu bar there are just links to other sites that I have, like RaleighStream.net. So when you click on the menu bar for stream, what do you get?
Like under the menu bar, there's little red letters that I click on.
Well,
and then
it shouldn't be
the
under.
Next
by
page
the way,
comes up.
It shouldn't be under the menu bar. That obviously I didn't optimize this. You must have an Android,
yeah, I do.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, you click on that, and then the stream page should come up on RaleighStream.net.
Right.
And you click on the.
And then I click on that.
Yeah.
And then the little player thing comes up, and then it plays your show.
Okay. So what's the problem?
But there's no little red letters.
Ah. Well, so for the stream, if there's no little red letters, and apparently it absolutely is not optimized for Android, and it probably never will be, by the way, because I'm not about to. So I've had it with all this stuff. But anyway, here is the deal. What you can do, you've got somewhat of a menu bar that doesn't have any letters, right?
Right.
And if you click on that, what happens? The second pane, not the first one, the second pane.
I don't know. I didn't try it. I was afraid to try it.
Well, that's what you try, because the second pane would be the stream. The third pane is the downloads. So it shouldn't be a problem. You know, I used to, back when I cared, I would do apps and check everything on Androids and on iPhones and all that. I don't have time for that crap anymore. So this is just as simple and as basic as it is, and you're on your own. But there shouldn't be a problem finding it eventually there. If the letters weren't on the menu bar, then that's one fail right there. But like I say, I'm not going to optimize this.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it should be easy. And the other thing is, remember, rather than going to Raleigh.net, you can always go to RaleighStream.net. And when you do that, when you go to RaleighStream.net, now you're at the site which has the instructions you want. And when you go there, it is the third pane. You click on it, it says stream. It'll get you the same page. But they were created in the same haste, in the same way. So I assume whatever problems you're exhibiting on one, you'll exhibit on all. But let me know.
All right. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, did Mark from Aurora get his cat yet?
You know, that's a good question. We talked about it right beforehand, but I have not heard yet if said cat has arrived. So, Mark, if you're listening, you can fill us in on that cat.
Yeah, and if you don't mind, maybe he could send a picture in and you could put it up on your
website. No, I'm never doing it again. That's what I'm saying. I'm just not taking the time to do this. Life is too short. All right, here is the deal. There's 24 hours a day, and I work 16 of them now. That's no exaggeration. 16 hours a day, working nonstop. All right, and so I now have doctors on me who are basically saying, you got to relax or die here. And anyway, there's a big difference between knowing how to do something and having the time to do it. And what goes on is, because I certainly know how to do all these things, I can do that. But then the time to do it, next thing I know, I'm not sleeping 8 hours. I'm sleeping 4 hours. So when we talked about what we were going to cut, one of the things that John and I decided is the websites are going to be bare bones. They're going to do what they do. You'll be able to hear the stream. You'll be able to listen to the downloads. You'll know what we said on the show. And that is it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much going to be true. I have a bunch of other websites that are unrelated to the show, and that's pretty much going to wind up being true for all of them, because when I was looking at how to save time, one of the easiest things to do was spend less time on these.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
All right. So good deal. Thanks. Appreciate
it. Did you get the email I sent you?
I don't know. When did you send it?
Oh, about a week ago.
A week
ago?
It
was a little bunny.
Oh, no, I don't know. No.
It was a little bunny.
Okay. No.
It was a cartoon bunny.
Okay.
It was funny because you're always talking about that, so that's why I sent it.
Oh, no, did not, but very often when I'm in a rush, if it's anything that's visual, it goes away.
Oh, okay.
So, but if you send it again, I promise I will look for it and look at it.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, bye. All right.
Bye.
Now, I hope you know that when you call, and I'm delighted that you do, that there isn't any text capability on this. And so I know a number of people, because I'll get emails that there have been attempts to SMS message or whatever. I don't get them. I can't respond to them. This is voice only. So if you're listening to the show and you want to contribute, we would love to have you, but it's got to be by phone. There's no texting involved. These are not cell phones. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I could set them up that way, but you understand that would just increase the time I was doing things. So thanks to those of you who try, but I don't see them. All right, now. We'll get to Linda in Richland Park and Fran and Austin and YouTube, but right now let's get to the Z Crane Company, something I love to talk about because Bob Crane should be knighted. Yeah, years ago when radio reception was just awful. I mean, you know, there's a time back in the day, when, especially on AMDXing, when you'd get a little portable and it'd be the best little radio, like those Zeniths or whatever, and you just, to your heart's content, you'd listen. And then, man, at some point, reception just became, like, unimportant to manufacturers. And Bob Crane said, I can do better than that. And he did. And now he's got an entire line of radios, and the one commonality they all have is they have terrific AM and FM reception. And one of the best is the CC Radio 2E. In fact, if you get a 2E and you put it next to your average radio and you tune to a weak AM signal that you can barely pick up on that average radio, chances are it's going to come in gangbusters on the CC 2E because it's just better. Now, it's not magic, so it's not going to pull in a station that's not there over your head, but if any radio can do it, this one probably can. And on top of that, it's got great sounding audio, and you can adjust it to whatever you want it to sound like. And in addition to that, it's got a weather band and a weather alert, which makes for a great emergency radio. It's got a clock, an alarm, a timer. It's a digital readout, but you can fine-tune in 1 kHz increments if you want to, or megahertz increments, depending on AM or FM. It's just terrific, and some presets as well. So you can go to ccradio.com and look at it, ccradio.com. Now, if you can't, because you can't go online, well, you can call them. They've got the world's best customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail if you want it, absolutely free. But if you can go online, that's great. Not only will you see a bunch of great products, but you will also see a lot of really nice information as well. And as you would expect, the C-Crane Company is absolutely behind keeping AM radios in cars. And there are some articles on that are very interesting. Bob Crane wrote one, in fact. The deal is, though, that you can get the newsletter, and it's not spam. They'll only email you when they've really got something nice to say, like exclusive offers or new information. So ccradio.com, look at the CC Radio 2E. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, the Parliaments. Yeah, that one might be one of the best lyrics ever. Yeah, my anger clouded my judgment, and I saw a red flash, that my mouth wrote a check that my heart couldn't cash. Yes, absolutely. The parliaments, of course, and that's none other than George Clinton, and later they just became Parliament and Parliament Funkadelic, of course. But George Clinton's still with us. He turned 83 on Monday. He was born in North Carolina but grew up in Plainfield, New Jersey. And he is still active, as far as I know. So happy 83 to George Clinton, and thank you for "Don't Be Sore at Me." It was the flip side of "All Your Goodies Are Gone." It was on Revelot, and a little Detroit label. And oh man, I've told the story before, but I was trying to clear some rights once, and no one would admit that they owned it. And so finally BMI helped me out, but it turned out not to matter, because when I found out who really did own it, the first thing they said is, "No, we don't." And when you buy things in bulk, well, you don't really remember the things that weren't hits. And that wasn't, but it sure should have. All right. So, yes, a fine, fine song. And Revelot was a fine little label in Detroit. Yes, it was. Don Davis and LeBaron Taylor. LeBaron Taylor, I think I worked with him at CBS Records. But Don Davis, yeah, getting a hold of him. He didn't know where they went. But anyway, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Linda in Richland Park, what's up tonight?
Hi, how are you?
All right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
You know, I heard the guy, the first guy that came on tonight that took the shot in the eye.
Jim.
And Jim, you know, those shots that he's talking about are called Avias. So if that's what he's taking,
well, it's Vabysmo. It is something that they've come out with. It's Vabysmo, and that's the brand name of it. And it's a fairly new treatment for wet AMD. And it's frightfully expensive. That's why I was asking him. But they do have a program to help you pay for it. So that's what it is, Vabysmo.
So he's not taking the Eylea shot?
No.
Because those Eylea shots cost $1,900.
Yeah, well, this is priced even higher than that. But as I say, I don't think he has to pay. At least he's not supposed to have to pay. But
right.
It's fairly new as far as that goes, and I think their list price on it is $2,362. So
okay, but the thing of it is, when he gets these shots, will it help him to see?
Well, they don't know that, do they? And see, that's the problem. I always say it's they call it the practice of medicine because they're still practicing. It works. Uh-huh. It works over time. The research is interesting. It's a biologic, and mm-hmm. They're showing some good results over, say, a year long time. But there's a number mm-hmm. of potential side effects and contraindications. So you have to work with somebody who really knows what they're doing. But it's the first and mm-hmm. only treatment that's designed to block the causes of vision loss from wet AMD.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know what wet AMD is. You know, I have glaucoma.
Yeah.
And I took Eylea. And right. Those shots do you no good. So I'm glad to hear that he's not taking them, because I took so many of those shots, and it just, each and every time I took it, it blind me.
Oh, God.
Even more.
Oh, God. Now,
so it got to,
how are your pressures now?
My pressures are the same. You know what brings my pressure down is the eye drops. They have some eye drops
okay.
that will bring your pressures down. And that really will work. But as far as, I don't even let them stick me in the eye anymore, because I know it's a waste of time. They send me statements stating that this is not a bill, and it is say that one Eylea shot, $1,900. Yeah. I'm going like, why am I going through this very painful?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not doing me any good. So they do have some type of Eylea that have steroids in it, and some people say they can see a little better with that. They can't see, but I asked my doctor about it. He said the ones with the steroids will make your pressure go up even more.
Steroids do that as a side effect. That's true. I would agree with that.
That's what he said.
Yep, yep. I mean,
what I decided to do is just try to eat right and take my eye drops, and I go the holistic way.
Right.
And it's kind of helping me out.
Good.
Helping me out very good. Dr. Dixon, take her medications. It's helping me out a lot. It's medications they get from plants.
Okay.
Africa.
Wow. Okay.
And she sells her medication all over the different countries and things. I can't tell you the different type of degrees that she got. And she studied medicine for 40 years. And she said, if I would not have been putting foreign objects in my body, I probably would see better once I take her medicine. But she said she can try to help me to get my eyesight to come back. So I said, well, I hate I found out about it a little bit too late, but she gets a lot of good reviews. So
wow.
I hope he do well with what he's doing. I'm going to be listening to see how he's going to come out with his, but it's an awful thing when you can't see anything. So right now, I can only see, like, silhouettes.
Uh-huh.
I hold the walls to go where I want to. And sometimes I get kind of down and out, but they have support groups, and you can get a few laughs. You know, you can bring your spirits up. Just talking to people.
Oh, sure.
So I kind of like that. But I'm not going to hold you on the phone all that long, but there's three songs. I wonder if you could play it for me sometime between today and tomorrow. By the Four Tops, it's called Reach Out.
Okay.
And then the other one I like is Ray Charles. I can't think of the name of it. I think it's I Got a Woman Way Across Town.
Yeah, I Got a Woman, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one I like was, on my mind is, it's by, it's kind of like a jazzy song. It's called Happy Hour by Ronnie Jordan.
Okay. So, you will get them.
So you can play that.
I'll do it.
And I'll keep listening.
All right, great to hear from you.
For the young man. All righty.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Appreciate it. All right, and for anybody listening on the stream, we are in commercials for Before the News, which is exactly what Bob is supposed to do. So, of course, if you're listening on WGN, you're not hearing a word I'm saying. So I'm just talking to you on the stream that Fran from Austin will be back right after the news. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the Four Tops, of course. Yeah. Reach out, I'll be there. Yeah, you say it, I play it, and happy to do that. Sad that we've been playing Four Tops music because, of course, the news that Duke Fakir died, the last remaining Four Top. And interestingly, they hold a record for being, I can't think of anybody who tops them, for being the longest group with no changes in original members. From 1953 to 1997, they did not have a membership change. And, of course, Lawrence Payton died in 1997, only 59 years old, and that caused a change. And then Levi Stubbs, of course, he was off for a while with cancer in the 90s and had a stroke around 2000 and died in his sleep in 2008. Obie Benson And that was lung cancer in 2005, and now Duke Fakir. And rest in peace, to say the least. And certainly an interesting and robust career, to say the least. And Elaine from Oak Forest wanted to talk about Levi Stubbs, of course, lead singer for forever. All right, Elaine, thanks for calling WGN Radio.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, with the death of the last original, it made me think of Levi Stubbs.
Yeah.
And a while back, you asked a listener a trivia question about the Little Shop of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, and the remake of that movie, I think Levi Stubbs was the voice of the plant.
Really?
I think so.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful.
You
all
might
right.
want to, you know.
Oh, you bet y'all look this up, and if it's true, you know darn well I'll find the book. And yeah, okay, I looked him up on IMDb, you know, and it says yes, actor. I love that. Little Shop of Horrors. All right. Well, good deal. So now of course suddenly I'm interested in the movie for the first time. And
maybe he
was in others.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was also in something called Queer as Folk in 2000, and something called The Game Master, and also, well, I guess it's Captain and the Game Master, 1989, but Little Shop of Horrors, 1986. Wow.
Yeah, if you have the soundtrack, maybe you can pull up a song or something that he sings in it.
Well, does he sing?
I think you know what? I think the plant does a song.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Well, you can bet I'm going to find it. I think the plant was named Audrey. I don't know why I know that. But never saw the movie, but I know the plant was Audrey. I have a fear of plants, and it's a long story. Scared to death of them. And so root systems especially. Drives me crazy. And so, yes, I've been informed by other people that Audrey is out to get me. So now I'll have to see the movie to find out more about Audrey now that I know that Levi Stubbs is behind her. Wow.
There you go.
Wow. I love that, Elaine. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. All right. How nice. All right. Little Shop of Horrors. All right. So, yeah, one of the few movies I've seen was a horror movie. I think I've told you about Dr. Terror's House of Horrors. And, yeah, I think that certainly increased my fear of plants. But I do. I have a massive fear of plants. And I remember being on the air once in Louisville, of all places, and I'm doing the news. And somebody, while I'm on the air, sits a plant right next to me. And in the middle of the newscast, I go, plants! had to immediately recover and act like I didn't say a thing. All right, so we have Fran and Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, you were just talking about a subject that I know quite a bit about because I've seen that movie several times.
Okay, so
Audrey,
does he sing?
Sorry, what?
Does Audrey sing?
Audrey is not the name of the plant.
Oh.
Audrey is the name of a girl who works in the flower shop.
Oh.
So there's a guy that owns the flower shop, and then there's this guy that works there that's kind of a, schmuck. I mean, he's nice but dumb.
Right.
And this girl who, she is kind of the bad girl who gets, hurt a lot, and she's with this guy that's got this, he rides a motorcycle when he's got perfect hair that never moves.
Oh, no, in other words, are you really going out with him? I don't know. Here she comes. Let's ask her.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So. But anyway, so, he's got a crush on Audrey, and he has to help the florist. He has to go and feed this thing, and Levi Stubbs is the plant, and he does sing a song in it, he is just absolutely hilarious. And there is a lot of good music in that, the musical version of that, which is the one I'm talking about. There's a lot of... there's a song in there called "Down on Skid Row," and they're all kind of like a soul style, a lot of girl group. They have like girls that every so often they pop up as this girl group. I don't know.
Wow. Well, now I want to find out. And I understand that it was both a movie and an animated television show. That's kind of frightening. And then it claims that a film version of the musical Little Shop of Horrors. This is a musical?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
This is actually so more than the plant sings.
Right. No, there's music in it, and it's very good.
Okay.
They've got a typical 60s girl group.
Okay.
That, you know, kind of just that they're hanging out on the street corner, you know, and singing, and you know, it's got a lot of good music in it, and I've seen it I don't know how many times now.
I see that he sang the Oscar nominated Mean Green Mother from Outer Space. All right, then.
Exactly. That's it.
Wouldn't want to be on an award show trying to announce that with a straight face.
Yeah, really.
And for Mean Green Mother from Outer Space, Levi Stubbs.
Green Mother from Outer Space.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, exactly. No, thank you. All right. Well, so now
as usual, that's not what I called to talk about, but since that happens to be something I knew something about.
Yeah, so by all means.
But I called to talk about, I'm getting bugged by all these people wanting me to do genetic testing.
Tell them to go to hell. But
I do, but, you know, I don't know if there's some new scam that's going on with this or what, because I don't often answer my phone unless I know who it is. But once in a while I slip if I get a 512 and I'm expecting a call from somebody. So, you know, they'll say they're from Medicare and that my insurance approves it.
Right.
And I can get this genetic testing that will tell me if I'm likely to get heart attack, you know, heart disease or arthritis. I'm like, okay, I already have blood pressure. I'm already diabetic. I already have arthritis. And if there's anything else, I don't want to know about it.
Here's what you do. The next time someone calls and claims they're from Medicare, what you say is, now never mind what you're selling. I was on the phone for 3 hours waiting for Medicare. Now that I got you on the phone, I want to discuss my issue. Now, right here, I have my paperwork. Now, and just light into them.
I love it. Yeah. I will do that.
Yeah. You know, that's all there is to it. They'll be gone in a minute.
But, you know, I'm wondering, you know, what the thing is with this, because it's just like they text me, they email me, they call me. And then I remember Eduardo was talking last night about how they took a swab. Now, I'm thinking that might have been a drug test.
I assume it was. I hope to hell they weren't getting his DNA to work at Publix.
Yeah, really.
There's something just dead wrong about that. But here's the deal. The best spin on this is they're aggressively trying to sell something. The worst is that it absolutely is a bad scam. Either way, you don't want any part of it. So turn the tables.
That's a good idea. I will do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then they also are driving me nuts. They want to do a home visit.
No.
Oh. I don't want a home visit.
Why,
I don't need a home
why
visit.
Why would you? Well, who wants to do a home visit?
My insurance company. So this isn't from Medicare necessarily. This is from
Do you have an advantage?
United.
Oh God, United Healthcare. Don't start me. I'm not. We're not
talking
about
it.
I'm not talking about it. Right. There are probably libel laws. All right. So in any event, the bottom line is it's a two-word. It's a two-letter answer. No.
Yeah, exactly. And they want to know, you know, and first thing I said is this necessary? You know, because I thought, well, maybe I can't get, you know, my stuff paid for if I don't let them do this.
Well, yeah, and
you can ask, is this necessary?
Right.
And she said, well, we just like to come in and see that everything's, okay, it's not necessary, then I don't want it.
Yeah, what you might also...
She asked me why, and I said, I don't need to tell you why. I just need to tell you that I don't. No, I'm not interested. I don't want, you know, I don't like strangers coming into my house.
Yeah, I would hit it a little harder if it ever happens again and just say, is this mandated and does this affect my coverage if I refuse? See, by saying
okay,
that, they're going to have to tell you the truth. And the minute they do, then this conversation is over. And if they say, well, why? You just say, this conversation is over. Good day.
Click.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's good. I like that table turning. I think I will definitely do that.
Yeah. You can have a lot of fun with this, actually.
Yeah. I got you on the phone. I got a bill.
Right. Exactly. And just say, you know, I waited for 3 hours and we're not going to talk about whatever's on your mind until you straighten this out. If you can't straighten this out, I don't care what it is you have to tell me. Now, do you understand that? You know, and that's basically how you play it. And, you know, they'll go, well, that's not my department. Well, then don't call me. Have that department call me. If that department calls me, I'll talk to them. I will not talk to you. Do you understand?
The ones that drive me, that really make us laugh, and we have a lot of fun with them, are the ones that call and tell us that our car warranty is expired.
Yeah, I love those, too. And
so Gary went ahead and let him put him through, and they're asking him, you know, his, what is it, registration number or what kind of car he drives, and Gary says, well, you should know that.
Exactly.
You're calling me, you should know that. Why do you need this information? If you, you know, you're calling me telling me that my warranty's expired, and you don't know my warranty number?
Then you don't know if it's expired. Goodbye.
Exactly. But, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just some of the things that people, and now we've got people that will call, they'll text and they'll say, why haven't I heard from you?
Oh, yeah.
And it's nobody we know.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I get a lot of email like that. And of course, you know, I just dump it immediately because I don't have time to I don't have time to play along anymore. But when I did have time to play along, especially if they called at what would normally be an inopportune hour, I say, well, here's the deal. I'd be happy to talk to you during my working hours. Can I call you at home at 2 this morning? Because you're calling me at home now, and I sleep at these hours, so I would appreciate it if I could call you back and we can talk about it. How do you feel about it? Usually I don't get about it out before they've hung up.
Right. Yeah, that reminds me of a friend I had who, I mean, she knew I was a day sleeper.
Yeah.
You know, and she would call me at like 8 o'clock in the morning. And so I thought, okay, I've had enough of this. So I decided to call her at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm real chipper. Like she was, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, I was asleep. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, now you know how I feel when you call me at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I normally never have a phone on at this point in life. But when John had his stroke and was at Mayo, I kept the phone on for him no matter what. And the worst people, you know, I always say it in businesses, I despise human resources. Well, and I do. Sorry if you're in that field. I don't want to know you. But the same kind of thing where they have things, they call them things like patient advocate or whatever, you know, there's a million different words. So one of them calls me and I said, I am asleep. Well, since I've got you on the phone, I said, here's the deal. I will call you when I'm awake. It is 2 a.m. when I am awake. Give me your home number and we can continue this conversation. Do you get it? Last I heard from them. So, yeah. Yeah, you know, fun with phones. Why not?
Why not? They're going to bug me. I can.
Oh, yeah. Well, the statute of limitations is out, so some night ask me what I've done to wrong numbers. But yes.
I used to have fun with wrong numbers, too. So
I think Security Pacific was threatening to sue me until they realized it was their error. But I'll tell you when we next talk what I did to all of their customers who called me. So,
okay. That would be interesting, yes.
All right. Good to talk to you, Fran. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Graham. He's on the road. We're driving through Kansas. I can't wait. So we'll do that coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Oh, yeah. I got a woman way over town, good to me. Oh, yeah. She give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. just for me. Oh yeah, she says loving early in the morning just for me. Oh yeah, she says loving just for me. Yeah, she loves me so tenderly. I got a woman way over town that's good to me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And yes, that's Ray Charles. Happy to play that too for Linda. And that's the original. It was recorded in November of 1954 at WGST in Atlanta on the grounds of Georgia Tech at that time. And it was something that he had been singing for about a year and went in and recorded it. Of course, it came out on Atlantic, a yellow Atlantic, and a red shellac 78 in Atlanta 54, and the rest is history. He re-recorded it, and most of the time when you hear it, you'll hear that other version, which ABC Paramount Empire, he re-recorded it in the 60s. And it was, you know, in some ways maybe a lusher record, but as far as I'm concerned, not nearly as good. So the original, I Got a Woman. Now, Graham is in Kansas, so we're driving along in Kansas. So, Graham, welcome back to WGN Radio. Where are we now?
Where are we now? Well, I think we're about an hour from Topeka.
Okay.
Yeah. Just stopped at a gas station to fill up with gas at a, what's it called, Flint Mountain Fuel Stop or something.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some guy trying to figure out how to get in, and he looks totally lost.
Oh, yeah. But, that's great.
And I'm trying to figure out how to get back out, and it looks like a little bit of a mess here. Okay, no, you know what it is that they built an island, but they haven't they don't have it set up. So yeah, I'm heading towards Topeka, Kansas now. We started out at the far end of Colorado.
Right.
And went across Loveland Pass. I decided instead of going through the tunnel, it takes about an extra 10 miles to go up and over the hill, and it was a whole lot more fun going up and over the hill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 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 So we went up and over the Loveland Pass and took some pictures up there, the Continental Divide and all that other stuff.
Okay.
And then came back down and, you know, and I put another $35 worth of gas into the car, which will get me another 340 miles.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we got going on today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I can't complain. Nothing really new here. And where are you planning? By the way, I look at the exit maps, for instance, and I love them when they say something like exit 355. Nothing detected here. So so that's kind
well,
of
well. This service plaza they just put in is brand new. I'm right over by a way station. I'm over by a. By a way station that's right by Kansas 185.
Okay.
And the mile marker number is mile marker 330 McFarland.
Uh huh. Yeah, that's where it says nothing detected here.
Yes. And then, well, that like I said, that truck stop is a brand new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't even have it completely finished.
Wow. And, yeah, the way station's in the beautiful metropolis of Alma.
Yes. Yes, in Alma.
Yeah. Well, you'll be in Manhattan, Kansas, so soon.
We'll be getting to Manhattan soon, and then we'll be getting to Topeka. Right. And I don't know if I'm going to
if I'm going to wait until I get into misery to go to sleep or if I'm going to stop before then. I haven't come to that conclusion yet.
Okay. Well, if you're driving, yeah. if you're driving through Topeka, of course, I probably have to play Ones on the Way for you.
Okay. The other question is, how many miles is it across?
I 70 in Kansas in it is it's over 400 miles.
Yeah, I thought so. Just like Colorado was like over 450.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is over 400. I think it's like around 425 or so, around that. But yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, the mile markers in the direction you're going, they go up. So when you get to Kansas City, you'll probably be in the 420s.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because unfortunately on the phone, it doesn't tell you any of the exit numbers, and I didn't bother to bring an atlas with me.
Yeah, and that's terrible. That app should tell you the exit numbers. That's just wrong.
It tells you the exit number it wants you to get off at, but it doesn't tell you, you go all the way to the far end of the state to try to find out how many miles, and it doesn't tell you.
Well, there's a bunch
by the exit numbers.
But there's a bunch of websites that do, that you can go to. And so, like, you can just put I-70 Kansas mile markers, and usually three or four different people will have put up every exit and what's on them.
Okay.
So the map programs the map programs won't help you very much for that, but there are so many now sites. While we're talking, I'm going to look this up. We got a number of them. There's iExit, all exits along I-70, along 470. Wikipedia, that's 470. They have every exit there. But AA Roads, 70 East. There's a lot of them. So that's the easiest way to find it. Yeah.
That makes sense. That, or you just keep on driving until you get to the next state, and then you find out.
Well, right. Isn't that the truth? I mean, the other way, at least you kind of have an idea. But of course, if you know that it's 425 miles or whatever, you can kind of do the math on what's going on.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, when you get to the end of Colorado, for that last, like, 40 miles or something, there's no place to get fuel.
I'm not surprised, because there's nothing there.
Yes. Yeah, you got that one liquor store in this one town that has, like, a Cadillac up on a pole.
Uh-huh.
And, they got a Cadillac up on a pole. They got a liquor store and a diner that closed down, and a convenience store. And that was the first place that I stopped when I was coming west. And I didn't think about it, that I better get fuel there. And I ended up with the yellow light on and no bars showing by the time I got to the next one.
Oh, yeah. No, so, I know, basically, if you don't stop at Deer Trail, and Deer Trail is exit 328, you are committed to go to 360 at least, because that's Lyman.
Yeah,
absolutely. Over the years, being in the West, I have been I've run out of gas more places than anybody can remember. But I've learned now, when they say last gas for 100 miles, they generally mean it. And
yes. So. It's not like when you're at the 4 mile circle over in Chatsworth and it says last gas before Long Beach Island.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And there's like ten more gas stations.
Of course.
When you get to Manahawkin.
Yeah, the first time I was fooled by that was leaving Boulder City in Nevada and driving down to I-40, and they did say, last gas for 70 miles. No, that's not right. Of course, I ran out of gas. So.
Yeah, I almost did that on the way out. I didn't buy gas in Georgetown, and then I got up to the top of the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And before I got in the tunnel, and then I realized that there was nothing on the other side of the tunnel for a while until you got down into Vail. And I ended up going back into Georgetown and buying gas.
Oh, no, I know. I know. You. After a while, you get the mentality where you don't let it get much below half a tank. You fill it up because you just don't know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm used to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now it won't be so bad. Once I get into misery, it should be a little bit easier because it's a lot more populated.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good.
Yep. So. Okay.
Well, good to hear from you. We'll talk tomorrow night. Yeah, you probably will maybe be in Illinois or Indiana by then.
I would expect so.
Yeah.
I would definitely expect so. Yes.
All right.
I think I'm going to be in Indiana tomorrow afternoon at this rate.
Well, that'd be great. God, then you'll be in Pennsylvania when we're talking, probably.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, Raleigh.
Okay.
Have a good
night. Thanks
for all the help.
Appreciate it. All right.
Bye.
So, yeah, of course, I-70, Ohio, you know, the beautiful garden spot of Columbus and stuff. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Graham wouldn't make it to Colorado. But we'll count on Ohio anyway. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And let's see. Let me say goodbye to Graham because every line is busy here. So, all right. There's a – no, I didn't. There is now a line available for you should you want it. And let's see. Other than that, we've got, look at this, advice for Fran. We've got John and Bill who both have advice. I can't wait to hear this. So, John in Waukegan, welcome back to WGN.
Yes, you had a lady earlier on. She was saying about someone wanted to come check her out, I think, for physical or something.
Yeah, her insurance company wanted a home visit.
Yeah, well, that's all she had to do is call the insurance company and find out, is that true?
No, it is true. One is true, but she doesn't want them coming.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was a scam.
No, it wasn't a scam. This is an aggressive insurance company that actually wants to make home visits. They want to look around.
Well, I every year I get a home visit, but mostly all of the big insurance companies like Humana,
yeah,
and the top ones. I had a home visit the first of the year because they want to check you out. They don't come and check your house out.
No, of course not.
They're examining you,
right?
And they give you. Well, the just tests that I had, they give you, when they start, they'll start off, you know, examining you, and then, they'll talk to you a little while, and they'll say, they'll give you three questions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the way this insurance company does. And then they'll go through other situations and go through the procedures. Then before they leave, they'll ask you these three questions. And later on, I say, well, they must be trying to see if I have, Alzheimer's.
Right, right. Or if you're giving the same answers each time. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But, I always get it spot on. And that's the situation. They want to examine you for their record.
Oh, yeah. Well, my feeling is you want to do that, then fine. Tell me where you'd like to meet me because you're not coming to my home.
Oh.
You know, there's no way.
Maybe.
The bottom line is there's no way I'm giving you a home address. My mailing address is what you've got. You're not going to find out where I rest my head.
Maybe I should. Take your lead because I let mine come to me.
Well, it probably did you no harm, but in general, I do not let people visit. It's like, no, where do you want to meet me? You know, like all those people, phlebotomists, we'll do the blood draw at home. I said, you're home, it ain't going to be mine. You know? So, yeah. All right,
Thanks. I would like to ask one other question.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi's husband, he's not a politician.
No. He's a businessman.
Yeah. Whatever happened with his home visit when they beat him up with the hammer?
We'll never know.
Oh, no.
We'll never know. That was...
Okay.
Yeah, Paul, okay. Paul Pelosi. That was very questionable. We're never going to know.
Yeah, okay. Well,
now, I will tell you, the guy was sentenced, that I know. He was sentenced to 30 years in prison. But as to what he was really doing there, that was David DePape who got 30 years. What he was really doing there, we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll chalk that up to one of those mysteries. Maybe we'll know after we die.
Yeah, okay. Well,
sort of like the Kennedy assassination. Maybe we'll know after we die.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of that stuff, it's 30, 40 years later. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So that's the deal, though. The guy's in prison. Exactly what transpired, I don't know. All right, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Mm-hmm.
And, he faced a number of things, but he ain't going to be out anytime soon. But why was he there and what was he doing? Oh, I'll leave that to the tabloids. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're going to do this and then get to Tubby, a first-time caller who's got a request. So don't go away, Tubby, and you too. Stay where you are on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. We'll forego that bumper because I want to talk to Tubby. He's a first-time caller from Chicago. So, Tubby, welcome to WGN.
I'm so excited. You just don't know how excited I am.
Okay.
You play some very interesting music, okay? And I know it's a lot, but I have three requests. But when I tell you what they are, you're going to say, oh, yes, I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, let me get that out of the way first. Okay, Love Letters, Straight From Your Heart.
Sure, okay, we can do that. Ketty Lester, right?
Hello, Stranger.
Hello, Stranger, Barbara Lewis, okay.
Yeah, and then What a Difference a Day Makes.
Oh, sure, absolutely. I can play all of them for you.
I know. Oh, my God, you just touched my heart. And I just found you on the radio. And I was like, wow, where have I been? but let me say this. This is the most important part. People should never give up on themselves or their dreams, because when I first got your show, I was like, wow, I have done so much. And I will be talking both of our lifetimes and more. And I was to tell you a lot, but I'm going to be quiet. And I just want you to know how much I enjoy your the way you listen to people and the way you engage in conversation with people. I think it's so important that we just treat each other well. People should be treating each other better than we do.
I agree.
And that's what I know.
Well, I hope you're gonna call me more often.
I will call you again. Okay. I will. And I wish we were sitting on the Champs-Élysées at a cafe and I was talking to you all afternoon.
Well, call back. We'll talk about anything you want and any music you like.
Okay, one more thing.
Yes.
On the music thing, the Frank Sinatra stuff.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoy. I noticed different people like Sarah Vaughan and Frank Sinatra, different voices, Aretha. You know, as they go through their careers, their voices change.
Yes.
And it's very interesting with the arrangements, the orchestration that Nelson Riddle was doing.
Yes.
With Frank Sinatra. I think when he, because I got, you know, I just listened to different eras and, the, you know.
You're so right. You are so right, because Frank Sinatra, when he was first a big band singer, sounded so much different. And later, when his voice changed and his approach changed, there were people who just wrote him off. And yes, Nelson Riddle was the best thing that happened to him.
Right. Because I'm just saying that it's just like when you, and I was fortunate enough to make friends with Dizzy Gillespie, right? And I will call you again because I will tell you this one story before I get off, because I notice people take 3 minutes, and I'm going to give you this one.
Well, no, you can you can do all you want, but news is coming up, so can you hold on?
I'll hold on.
Thank you. I appreciate that, because in 30 seconds we go to news, and Bob is great. He keeps me in line, and boy, if I talk over the magic time, then I'm just gone. But I got another hour of this, and I'll be just back in moments on WGN Radio.
Chuba, chuba, my baby. shoo-bop, shoo-bop.
Hello, stranger. It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
It seems like a mighty long time. Chupac, chupac, my baby, ooh.
It seems like a mighty long time. Oh. Stopped by to say hello to me. Remember, that's the way it used to be. Ooh.
It seems like a mighty long time. Chubop, chubop, my baby. Ooh. It seems like a mighty long time. Chubop, chubop, my baby.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah. Barbara Lewis, she wrote it, she recorded it, and it was over 30 years before she got any royalties. Ollie McLaughlin produced it, and that was the good news and the bad news. It was actually done at Chess in Chicago, and the Dells were the background vocals on that, and Riley Hampton did the signature organ riff. John Young did that, but Riley Hampton did the arrangements, and I think there were like 13 takes of that, but after the last take, the bass singer of the Dells, Chuck Barksdale, was jumping up and down saying, "It's a hit!" And it was, and McLaughlin had small labels, you know, like Dion Jackson was on and stuff like that, you know, Karen and Moira, all stuff named after his daughters, but he knew he didn't have distribution, so he flew the master to Atlantic, and Atlantic optioned it. And it was interesting because then they kind of got cold feet, saying, "Well, that's, I don't know." And then "Our Day Will Come" by Ruby and the Romantics did very well, and it motivated Atlantic to say, "All right, well, we'll release it." And of course, it was number one for 2 weeks, and a great song. Ollie McLaughlin actually recorded it, and Barbara Lewis did write it, but like I say, a long time before she got those royalties. But Ollie McLaughlin recorded it on the Capitals as well. In fact, it was the flip side of "Cool Jerk." That's probably my favorite cover, though Martha and the Vandellas did a cover. Elkie Brooks did a cover in 64 as well. And so there was an instrumental track that was behind "Love Makes the World Go Round," the Dion Jackson thing that was on Carla, one of Ollie's labels. And that was a deal there. And then, of course, covered by everybody, including Yvonne Elliman, probably the most successful other than Barbara Lewis. So, okay, we're talking to Tubby, first-time caller. And we were mentioning Frank Sinatra, and then the news happened. So, carry on.
I'm here.
Okay. So, pick it up.
Instead of telling you the Disney story was like when I pulled up in the limousine with him.
Yeah.
I'll forget the backstory. But anyway, I came in, instead of meeting them, just leaving my name at the back gate, I drove to the Lincolnshire, and I pulled in with him. And they didn't know what female I might have been in the car with him and his play brother from the West Side. So I had been backstage with several different artists, and I worked everything, all the venues at the Taste, catering and security and everything, right? So I want you to know, as a video, it was the very best, okay?
Yeah.
So sometimes you get a cover, and a cover is a seat. They let you in, and you go sit down.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you go to some places, like maybe the London House, they give you a cover. You can order anything off the menu.
Nice.
Wine, anything. So the only thing is, they were just very professional. And my statement to all of that is that everybody should be treated the way I was treated that night.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what female I played, what role I played in his life. It was that the professionalism and the courteousness, you know, the courtesy that they showed me that evening was so special. And the next time I call you, I'm going to tell you about a baseball story, how one of the announcers from ESPN from Sunday Night Baseball called my mom at home on her deathbed because they said they didn't do shout-outs. So I'll save that story for the
all
next
right.
time, okay?
I'll look forward to it. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. All right. Good to meet Tubby. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And, we've had people hanging around forever. I think Bill in Watertown, Massachusetts. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you still with us, Bill? I hear breathing. Are you awake? I think Bill went to sleep. Yeah, I have that effect on some people. I'm sorry, Bill. But thanks for hanging in there anyway. All right, so Bill in Chicago. All right, we'll see if he's awake. Are you with us, Bill?
Yeah, I'm awake.
Okay.
I thought you got confused when you said Bill of Watertown. I was just confused at first.
Yeah, no, that was Bill in Watertown, and he's sleeping peacefully, which is nice.
Okay, well, the reason I called in, I was tuned in, and I heard Fran talking about her calls.
Yeah.
The thing, Fran, if you're still listening, that's why they put voicemail on your phone. If you're not, just let it go to voicemail, and there's the IRS... Medicare will never call you.
Correct.
For
correct.
Anything.
And that's
if they
right.
want
just,
to get in touch, they
just try to call them.
Letters.
Right. Try to right. call and them. You can't. Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, you can't call them, but they'll never call you. They'll
never.
Send you a letter.
Right.
And then your insurance, the insurance companies, yes, some do require home visits, like John said, but most insurance companies cover you through your doctor. And the ones that do come to your house, our licensed, what do you call them, PAs or...
Yeah, I'm aware.
And but no, that's why they got voicemail. And those genetic testing, that's a scam.
Yeah.
If you want that done, you can contact places like Ancestry or those places, and they'll do it.
Well, those kind of tests.
So
but they're
legitimate.
They're also right now talking about genetic testing for various markers of what diseases you might have and all that kind of stuff. And,
yeah, that's something else. I meant that's something you're gonna have it or you're not gonna have it.
Right. Well, I'm with you there, but as far as the ancestry kind of things where they're telling you about your lineage, no.
Right.
I saw in the news recently that somebody got their profile backed and it said they were part Neanderthal. I love that.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I always claimed there were people who definitely were part poodle, but it never occurred to me. But it was, you know, one of those news of the weird stories where the guy opened it up and, you know, there were some French and there were some Canadian and Neanderthal. How would they know that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever catch, you don't watch much TV, though.
No.
Well, there is a show on public television. I think you can get on the internet too. You can stream it. It's called Your Root, Finding Your Roots.
Uh huh.
And it's interesting because the guy, I forgot the guy's name, was hosted, but he's had it for a while, and they get a lot of the common people and big name stars.
Uh huh.
And they go back and track their roots and tell all the stuff about their family and what they did. And some of those people are shocked when they find out because they track it down. But your great great grandfather might serve time in jail and they never knew it. You know, stuff
right.
like that. You know,
right.
So, but it's on public radio.
Interesting.
Stuff.
Interesting. I will look for that. But the other one a few years ago on the Ancestry type site, I don't know if it was Ancestry or 23andMe or whichever one, but some three identical triplets sent in their samples and got three completely different results.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading about that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But the bottom line, from what I understand from people who know what they're doing, is that the likelihood that you have Neanderthal DNA is close to zero if you're from Africa and 1% if you're European or Asian. So I can't imagine this poor guy that comes up with a big percentage of Neanderthal. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that you want to show that to the neighbors and friends.
right. Well, the only thing of it is, you need to get some rest. I heard you yawn. Your mic was open a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm sure that's probably true. I'm falling over, but that's another story.
I struggled to myself. Yeah. She needs some sleep.
Oh, do I ever. Yes, it's been days. Yeah. All right, thanks. Yeah. I appreciate it.
All right.
So, yeah, apparently they give you the percentage of Neanderthal and also Denisovans. Now, I don't know what Denisovans are, but Johnny D is going to be calling, and he knows, so I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure he knows. But very little is known whether you would have any Denisovan DNA or not. But the bottom line is if you get one of these results, like I say, you're probably more accurately part poodle. So 888-876-5593. We will get to... Johnny D will get her, and Brian and Joliet's got some requests too. So all that and more is coming up on WGN Radio.
Love letter straight from your keep us so near while apart. I'm not alone in the night. When I can have all the love you write, I'll memorize every line, and I kiss the name that you sign. And darling, then I read again right from the start. Love letters straight from your heart.
Oh, she was so good. Teddy Lester, of course, Love Letters. And that was one of Tubby's requests there. And happy to play it. She was no slouch. She was born and raised in Hope, Arkansas, and I think she was one of like 15 kids, and she won a scholarship music to San Francisco State. And there she somehow connected with Cab Calloway, and she was in the Purple Onion performing, that's probably where. But she toured with Cab Calloway, Europe, South America, all over the place. And she came back to California and was on Everest, which is a small label. We played some stuff on Everest for you, and nothing happened with it. I think they had a record called Queen for a Day. But in any event, through some contacts, she met the folks at ERA, and they released Love Letters in 1961. And it's Lincoln Mayorga who's playing piano on that. He was in the Four Preps, actually. And so Earl Palmer on drums. Remember I told you he was one of the ones that I truly loved? And it got to number 5 on the Hot 100 and number 2 on the R&B charts. So, yeah. And then she did a lot of touring, supporting, like she was did support role on an Everly Brothers tour and all that. And she did a number of things, but just no real hits, unfortunately. A lot of people like that who did a lot of things, a lot of live performances. And by the 70s, she wasn't singing commercially. She was doing some acting. And she was actually offered the role that Diane Carroll took on Julia. And I don't know why she didn't take it, but she did appear in several movies, as far Uptown Saturday Night and a bunch of others as well, actually. And then was on a soap opera actress. She was on Days of Our Lives. See, Andrew would have known that. And she was also on Little House on the Prairie and things like that. So anyway, she, as far as I know, is still with us, 89 years old. So, all right. Now, Johnny D is in Ohio. And, yes, Johnny D, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, hello, Raleigh. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was just listening, and firstly, I want to say I'm all by myself again. The lovely and telling that Becky went to visit her sister down in Camel, her hometown, Camel, Ohio.
Oh, yeah? With, all right. So
yeah, you know, we're, you know, and I thought.
So you're alone and on, you you're alone and on the loose. Have you alerted the zip code?
You know, if I had, I was thinking, man, if I had the gumption, I could have went out tonight.
Right, you could have. You could have done anything, but you were probably too tired, like the rest of us.
I was too tired. Actually, I was thinking about calling earlier.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, oh, I'm too tired. But yeah. When you said about, you know, with the last fellow you were speaking to about genetic testing.
Yeah, yeah, that some of the tests are coming back saying people are part Neanderthal.
Well, I told you that about a year ago when I was telling you I had one of those
well,
tests.
Well, right, but I mean, a little part I understand, but if somebody comes back with a 25% Neanderthal, something is wrong.
Really? Was it that high of a percentage?
It was a high percentage, yeah. That was why it made the news.
Because
the
I had, on mine, I was making fun of not making fun, because there's some advantages
yes.
of having Neanderthal DNA, okay? Particularly, like, against pathogens, okay?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like when Homo sapiens or Cro-Magnon made it up into Europe, okay, from Africa,
uh-huh.
okay? The Neanderthals had, what do you call it, immunity to a
yes.
lot of the, diseases, you know, like flus and what do you call them, viruses and
right,
stuff
like right.
that.
Right.
And so they had immunity, you know, they had a, what do you call it, a natural immunity or whatever the hell they call it. Whereas the Homo sapiens didn't have that, but then they interbred, okay? They didn't think that they could interbreed a long time ago because there are two different species of human, okay? But then this guy in Germany, Sante Pabel or something is his name, big, tall, skinny guy, and he at the Max Planck Institute, he got all the Neanderthal, he sequenced the whole Neanderthal right. DNA, all right? Sante Pabel or something.
Okay.
His name. And with that, they discovered that if you're a European, your roots cover or Asia.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you will have up to 4%. It could go from like 1 to 4%.
Yeah.
You know, Neanderthal DNA. Like in my case, I was making fun of my daughter because when she got her results back, she had more Neanderthal DNA than like 70% of the people at 23andMe.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I got mine back and I have more Neanderthal DNA. The 93%.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're going to leave you and the Neanderthals right there. Stay, and we will come back in moments right here on WGN Radio. And it's my turn, and I'm just sitting here. Oh, yeah, I know what I was going to do. I was going to play the request for Graham. Yeah, one's on the way. Since right about now, we should be in Topeka.
France, and Jackie's seen in a discotheque doing a brand new dance, and the White House social season should be glittering and gay, but here in Topeka the rain is a-falling, the faucet is a-dripping, and the kids are a-balling. One of them is toddling and one is a-crawling, and
one's on the way.
$1 million pact, and Debbie's out in Vegas working up a brand new act, while the TV's showing newlyweds a real fun game to play. But here in Texas, Topeka, the screen doors are banging, the coffee's boiling over and the wash needs a hanging. One wants a cookie and one wants a changing, and
one's on the way.
Now, oh, I didn't know the mic was on. Jimmy, get away from that's one of my favorite Shel Silverstein songs. Oh, that's embarrassing as hell. All right, but it is it is great. Here in Topeka, the rain is a-falling, the faucet is a-dripping, and the kids are a-balling. One of them is toddling, and one of them is crawling, and one's on the way. All right, so Gavin is probably in Topeka right about now. That's really embarrassing. Johnny D, near Youngstown. So now, Neanderthal, there you are with some DNA. But now, what is this other thing? You would know. I'd never heard of it until I...
Oh, the Denisovans.
Yeah, what are the Denisovans?
I don't know if it's Denisovan or Denisovan, it's spelled as...
Yeah, it says it's Denisovan, but I have no idea. They're extinct, obviously. None of them are talking to me.
Yeah.
And but I'd never heard of them before.
Well, no, I'm sorry not to interrupt, but they're not extinct. They're in the same
light extinct
as Neanderthals, because they're walking around in modern Homo sapiens today, part of their genetics.
So apparently, the first identification, I guess we didn't know about Denisovans until fairly recently.
I think it was 2014, something like that.
Well, 2010, they extracted some DNA from a juvenile female finger bone. And I got to tell you, this is the thing I wonder about, because all of this stuff, and you're an expert in all this stuff, but when you get right down to it,
I'm not an expert.
Oh, you are.
I'm just interested.
Well, very. But they're recreating things from assorted fossils. And I often wonder, how wrong could they be? You know, it might not be anything like they think.
Well, what do you mean they might not?
Well, I mean, we don't have enough interest. We don't have enough information. We're kind of backing our way into it. And I
as to what? What they look like?
All of that, yes.
Well, you see, Raleigh, what they do, them geneticists, people, they look at your genes, and certain genes will tell you if you're going to be tall, short, fat,
oh, no, no,
skinny.
I understand all that. Where I was going is with the ancient species themselves, when they say, well, the Denisovan had dark skin and hair and dark eyes. How the hell do they know?
They had the genes for that.
Maybe.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They could probably take your DNA and tell you, well, it's a woman about 5'6", your height, your skin color, your this and that, and the other thing, your eye color, because your genetics will tell them that. Now, the Denisovans lived basically in colder climates, and the Neanderthals and the Denisovans pretty much came from the same lineage, from Homo heidelbergensis, lived about 900,000 years ago, and then, you see, so they're close cousins, the Neanderthals and Denisovans. And Neanderthals are our closest, to Homo sapiens, to humans, okay? They're like 98.9% same DNA as what Homo sapien person would have. And so, you see, if you're Asian, European, and even Africans, all right, have got like a low percentage of Neanderthal DNA, because what they did, Homo erectus left Africa, and then turned to Homo heidelbergensis, and from that came... But then some Neanderthals went back in to, or people with Neanderthal DNA from interbreeding with them went back into Africa, and some people in Africa now have that Neanderthal DNA, a low percentage. Like a European might have up to like 3% or, 2%. Well, a person in Africa would have like 1%. Because they migrated back into Africa carrying Neanderthal DNA, right? And so You see, then the Denisovans were up in, like, East Asia, okay? And they, you know, like your Tibetan people, okay? They live up high altitudes. You know how they say these Tibetans could climb high mountains and work and everything, you know? Because they got Denisovan DNA, which somehow allows them to need less oxygen at higher altitudes. And the Tibetans got that from Denisovan DNA.
Well, apparently they interbred.
They interbred. Yes, they all interbred, Rolly.
Well, now, but here, and I understand that I can see the Denisovan interbreeding with the Neanderthal. Okay, fine. But this was the sentence that caused me to wonder. However you say it, Denisovans apparently interbred with modern humans with a high percentage. Now, wait a minute. What do we call a modern human there? It's not like 10 years ago. What's a modern human in this story?
Well, a modern human is what you would call like your, archaic Homo sapien. A modern human is like Cro-Magnon.
Okay.
Cro-Magnon.
All right.
40,000 years ago. 40,000 years ago with modern humans. All right?
Well, I think it's interesting, but I also think that we don't know. We're backpedaling into this with very little information.
Well, Raleigh, some of you got these guys, you know, hey, they went to school and everything and stayed off for a long time. So they gotta make some money too.
Well, obviously, that's right. And the Max Planck Institute has to be there. I get that. But I still think that it's dangerously low information to come up with some of the conclusions that I read.
Hey, Raleigh, these guys are trying to make it on the cover of Science and like they want to make it on the cover of the Rolling Stone musicians.
Yeah, right.
These guys want to be on the cover of, you know, all them science magazines.
Or Popular Mechanics. All right.
Now, wait, I got one other thing. Well, earlier, way earlier in the show, you mentioned Parliament, okay?
Yeah, I did. The Parliaments. Okay. No, not Parliament. That was later. The Parliaments. That was before they were Parliament.
Oh, because then it brought to mind a song, and it went, now if you hear any noise, it's just me and the boys hit me. You gotta hit the band. What is that?
I don't know. It sounds like Mothership.
It
sounds like Mothership Connection.
All right. Well, listen. It
sounds exactly like. I think that's Mothership Connection. But of course, this is much, much, much later. You know, they were the good old Parliaments, just doing soul before they went crazy and became Parliament Funkadelic and all that. But Mothership Connection was what, about 1975, and
something like that.
Yeah, and yeah. I think Star Child is the song on there. But anyway, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you got that, play it.
I have no idea if I do, but I'll look. But it doesn't hold a candle to Don't Be Sore at Me. All right. Thanks.
Whatever you say, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. I was thinking one other thing before I go. You know, I said to Becky, you can go see your boyfriend, you know, because I think I told you, he's a guy that used to date before me, still lives in Camel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, which boyfriend? I said, you know which boy. And she goes, Michael? I said, yeah. And she goes, he died.
Oh, God.
I said, what? You know, I was shocked. I liked the guy. You know, I liked him. And I said, when that happened? She said, in May. He was my age, 72, you know.
Oh, wow.
But nice guy. It's too bad. I don't know. I said, what happened? She goes, I don't know.
Well, how did she not tell you? I mean, that was a headline.
Well, she ain't gonna tell. She don't want to tell me, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if one of my former flames was suddenly dead, I'd be telling John, hey, so-and-so died. Yeah.
Well, rest in peace, Michael.
Yes, absolutely, Michael. Wherever you are, hopefully it's in a much better place.
Yeah. Alrighty then, so that's the story of the Neanderthals, Denisovans. Check it out.
Yeah, all right. Marvel. Well, I won't be sending my DNA, but somebody else will, and I will look at the Max Planck Institute. Good deal. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
I'm all alone, feeling so blue, thinking about you and the love we once knew. And each time I do, it brings back those memories of El Monte. Remember the dance I held you so tight. The satins were singing in the still of the night. You gave me your heart and your love undying. Now I'm alone, I'm sitting here crying. If only they have those dances again, I'd know where to find you and all my old friends. The shields would sing.
You cheated, you lied,
and the heartbeats.
You're a thousand miles away,
and the medallions with the letter N.
Sweet words of his mortality.
Marvin and Johnny with. And then Tony Allen with. And I, Cleve Duncan, along with the Penguins, will sing. Earth Angel, Earth Angel, will you be mine at El Monte? If I could go back to those days of the past, I'd show you a love that would last.
WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. And yes, Cleve Duncan along with the Penguins. Well, Cleve Duncan would have been 89 yesterday, born in 1935, and he was, of course, the lead singer of the Penguins. And in 1963... about 4 or 5 years after their big hit, Earth Angel, the deal was that on the original sound label, Frank Zappa had written it, and he convinced Cleve Duncan to sing it, and they recorded and released Memories of El Monte. And all of the groups that he mentioned were absolutely playing from time to time at El Monte, and it was just an absolute, absolute East L.A. smash. So, but meanwhile... Cleve was actually born in Los Angeles. You know, most of the guys, they hailed from somewhere else and they came there, sometimes in high school or whatever, but he was born in L.A. and sadly died in L.A., but that was like in 2012, which was a while. All of the original Penguins, of course, are gone and have been for a while. Bruce Tate died in like 73 and Curtis Williams died about 79. I think that Dexter Tisby lasted a while. He died, I think, in 2019. But anyway, rest in peace, Cleve Duncan. And of course, Frank Zappa as well, who is near and dear to my heart because he adored East L.A. oldies. And I'm with him on that. Brian and Joliet, welcome to WGN Radio.
Good morning. First of all, I neglected to ask how John, excuse me, how's John been feeling since he had that stroke?
Well, I'll tell you, if you'd look at him and talk to him, you'd say, oh, he's just perfectly fine. Now, here's the reality is that he can't move a muscle without thinking about the action. Like if he's walking, he has to think, move leg forward, put heel down, put toe down. If he's eating, he has to think how to pick up the fork, how to get it to his mouth. If you don't think that's tedious, you've never tried it. And on top of that, he's got residual pain, no doubt about that. But all that said, he's walking, he's doing everything. Hell, I have him on ladders. So outwardly, he's doing great. Inwardly, we're hoping that the brain will rewire the pathways so he can get a little relief here.
Well, I hope he gets some. I hope he gets better. Yeah. And it makes me sad to hear that part of it. But I certainly, I'll include him in my prayers.
Thank you.
Thank you. He gets better. And I was going to ask, excuse me, Levi Stubbs passed away, wasn't it, in late July 2008?
Yep. That was a long time coming because he had had a stroke earlier, and before that he had had cancer in 95. So ever since 95, he'd been battling various physical things.
Well, it made me very sad to hear that the last of the
four. Oh, I know. What was really, to me, almost startling, although it's said very often happens, but Duke Fakir retired from the band 2 days before he died.
Oh.
So he made the decision that he couldn't tour anymore because, you know, for many years they're just a touring band. But as for Levi, he stopped touring when he had that stroke and then died about 8 years later.
Well, I remember when I heard he passed away. I think it was in late July of 2008.
I thought it was the
and
fall.
And I had to do I did my own tribute reminiscing with the records.
Oh, yeah.
Know.
Yeah. No, I thought it was the fall, though. I don't know why. I thought it was fall time, but I know he died in his sleep. I should look that up. All right. So let's see if I can look that up on Wikipedia here real quickly. All right. What does it say? Born June 6th, 1936 in Detroit. Died October 17th, 2008 in Detroit.
Oh, it was October.
It is October. Yeah, I knew it was like, I thought it was anyway, like fall times. And there was a big memorial held at Greater Grace in Detroit. And, you know, it was a who's who of Motown there. Just about everybody showed up along with city council members. And, in fact, they presented a resolution that there was going to be Levi Stubbs Day in Detroit. And I don't know if that was just for the year or you know, on and on. But that's... That's the deal.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I love that song you played by Kitty Lester.
Oh, Kitty Lester. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song.
Yes, it is.
I love that.
And she was she was a classy woman.
And may I throw out three requests? I don't expect you to get them all, but
well, what are they? Let's hear them, and hopefully we'll get them tomorrow night. What are they?
Well, from the Four Tops, I think the title is Why Don't You Stay in My Loving Arms?
Okay.
Let's see, There Is by the Dells from Harvey, Illinois.
Right, of course.
And what was the... Oh, Playboy by the Marvelettes.
Oh, okay, sure. Keep Away From My Door, yeah. Okay, you got it.
Well, thank you so much.
Good deal. Well, thanks for calling. Now, are you feeling okay?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay,
and I hope you're doing well. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, I can't complain. You know, it's the usual chronic stuff. Nothing that's going to kill me. All right, thanks.
That's good.
Appreciate it.
Well, you take care.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. Although, to hear the doctors tell it, it will kill me if I don't stop doing some stuff. That's why I'm trying to minimize the websites, and maybe we'll try to minimize some other stuff too. But there's always something, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and, you know, legal actions for this, that, or the other. Don't own a cell tower. You do not think that it's just passive income, trust me. Radio stations are difficult too in political season, trust me. All right, so Robert in Stickney has some requests. What do you want, Robert?
Yeah, I've got four of them.
Okay.
I know it's late in the show, but okay. Number one, I think this is the name of the title, Buzz, Buzz, Buzz by the Hollywood Flame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Wait a minute. I think the show just ended, but don't go away. Don't go away. I'll just say, stay where you are. We'll talk afterwards. But I'll say thank you to Bob and everybody else and to John and you name it. And we'll be back again tomorrow night. Okay, so now it's just you and me on the stream. Buzz, buzz, buzz,
okay.
Hollywood stream, Hollywood Flames. Okay, what else?
Yes. Hold On to What You've Got, Joe Tex.
Okay. What You Got.
By Joe Tex.
Yeah. And?
This was a follow-up, One Track Mind by Bobby Lewis.
Oh, I like that better than the other one, so sure. Okay.
Tossing and Turning?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. One Track Mind. Pretty Girls Everywhere.
Oh.
Was that Eugene Church?
Eugene Church, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that makes four, I believe.
It does. All right, thanks. Yeah. I appreciate it. All right.
Okay.
Okay, good deal. All right, so that's it. Apologies to Sherry and to James on the South Side, and we will do this again 21 hours from now. And apologies to Bob for screwing up all the breaks, but that's what I do. I think he won't quit before tomorrow night anyway, but we won't let John quit. So 21 hours from now, we'll redo it. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.